This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hi, Miss Holly.
Hi, Miss Julia.
How are you today?
Oh, well, I am fabulous. Happy Friday to all. Now, before we get to the nasty stories of the Dirt Alert, I need your assessment of these photographs on page 6 of Ben Affleck leaving the...
Well, go to page6.com.
She is, if they're not boinking, I would be absolutely shocked. Because here's the
thing. What's the reason to hang out?
Well, and here's the thing. You were already engaged. Everybody's got a, you feel bad sometimes when you've been dogged so badly.
And you go back into the arms of an old lover.
Hey, you know, it's not the worst place to go.
No.
No.
Because it's familiar. And, you know, Ana de Armas has turned 33. And I think he really dug her. And he was like, just too old and too much baggage for her for now. You know, so like he and Jennifer are more like, they're like in a good spot for, you know, enjoying a friends with benefit thing and see what happens. And they both have stuff and they don't mind. But I don't think he's coming over there to, you know, have tea.
No, I don't think so. So the story is Page Six reporting that Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck have been spending time together in L.A. and that a white Escalade allegedly owned by Jennifer Lopez comes around and picks up Ben Affleck and then drops him off a couple hours later.
And that's a nice tip from the, one of the guys or gals that are working at the Hotel Bel Air at the, in the valet.
Yeah.
The valet department, just call and tip somebody off about it. And maybe it's even Jennifer herself. So those be her people calling.
Well, it could very well be because it is an exclusive over on Page Six. So somebody on the inside is leaking this story and giving us the photographs today.
I mean, Jennifer, so on the one hand, People Magazine has the amazing photos that you posted for us of the shotgun wedding, she and Josh Duhamel. And then on the other side, this is, I'm applauding this.
I am too.
All of this.
Are you seeing the photos now, Julia?
Yeah, I am. I'm all for it.
All right. We're all for a little bit of a former romance.
It kind of makes sense because, like, who is she going to go out and meet right now? And this is somebody that she knows, and she's got Mark Anthony vying for her attention, but she doesn't want to get her kids' hopes up. And he knows. Ben would be a very nice shoulder to cry on.
Very nice. Very broad. We have to move on to the kind of gross stories of the Dirt Alert this afternoon. Right. Esme Bianco, who appeared in Game of Thrones, filed a federal lawsuit against Marilyn Manson today, accusing him of rape and other acts of sexual violence. So Bianco first came forward on February 10th as more than a dozen other women making allegations against Marilyn Manson. Now, at the time, Esme talked to The Cut, which is the subsidiary of New York Magazine, that Marilyn Manson had subjected her to physical abuse, whipped her, cut her, and chased her around his apartment with an axe.
Wow. I mean, and Evan Rachel Woods.
Yes.
And he kind of, when you think about it, his M.O. with the younger women and his...
It's gross.
His,
It's gross.
You're able to be a Svengali of a sorts, I guess, when you are rich and famous and well... You know what I mean? There's just
suing his manager.
Good.
That's right.
Covering it up. Yeah.
Yeah. That part of that complaint includes they go into detail about what Esme told The Cut. And in this complaint, she's also saying that Marilyn Manson flew her to LA in 2009 for what she thought would be a music video shoot. I believe he flew her from London to Los Angeles. And she says of the 4-day shoot, a harrowing experience. She was kept in his home, made to wear lingerie the entire time. She alleges that Marilyn Manson would fly into rages and destroy a camera equipment, locked her in a bedroom, tied her up, and that the music video was never produced.
That was just the pretense to get her there.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
boy.
Crossing international lines.
Well, all right.
All right.
Good. I hope she's successful. I'd forgotten about all the horrific things we learned about him.
Yeah.
In February. And Evan Rachel Woods is totally, just said, what was I doing? What was he doing? Right. She was 19 and he was 36 or whatever. You're so persuadable of things.
Oh, yeah, the dynamics.
It's so unfair.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to go to Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
I know. Happy Friday. So Harvey Weinstein's attorneys According to Variety.com, are running out of ways to stall his extradition to Los Angeles to face 11 charges of rape and sexual assault. Now, Harvey Weinstein's currently in Buffalo, New York. He's serving a 23-year sentence at a maximum security prison, but prosecutors have since resubmitted the extradition request. And Harvey Weinstein's extradition now appears all but inevitable unless New York Governor Andrew Cuomo steps in and intervenes.
No way.
He's
no
kind of busy right now, Andrew Cuomo. He's got some other things on his hands. So at a hearing this morning, it was all but indicated that Harvey Weinstein's going to be flown to Los Angeles.
Did the judge just say start the 30-day clock?
Yep. He's like, wow. He has 30 days to contest the arrest or have the governor disapprove of the transfer. Mm.
I mean, and you can see where people want justice there, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does it really matter to him anyway?
Well, right. I mean, it's pretty clear that Harvey Weinstein is going to be spending the rest of his life behind bars.
Wow.
Yeah, because with these charges in Los Angeles, he faces 11 counts of rape and sexual assault, which carry a theoretical maximum sentence of 140 years behind bars.
Holly, will Hollywood do a movie about him or do a disguised movie of him at all? Or is that too much ugliness for Hollywood to look at?
I think it might be too ugly.
Mm.
You know, I think doing that kind of self-examination of their business practices, there's really no way for Hollywood to romanticize that because, I mean, if anything, Hollywood has always loved a movie about itself.
Yeah.
Truly, it does. And those movies oftentimes can be very good. But this is just, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, holding themselves to be accountable for these kinds of people. I mean, even kind of with the Scott Rudin stuff. People don't really want to talk about that. There was the big Hollywood Reporter expose about producer Scott Rudin. There was also one on Vulture.com. But outside of that, people are not stepping forward.
I mean, because you think Scott Rudin is horrible to Tom Hanks's wife. Is there anyone sitting higher on the Hollywood respect chain of money? And he's got the ear, you know what I mean? And it keeps quiet. See, this is the problem with all this abuse and all this bullying is that people, we keep quiet about it because we're like, I don't know, you feel like you can't do anything about it. And Tom Hanks felt he couldn't even do anything about it with his own wife, who was starring in one of his productions. So I'm glad the Hollywood Reporter exposed this guy too.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he can't stop making movies if he really truly does make his amends. But he just sounds like he's been a major a-hole and bully and mean guy for 30 years.
Right.
So I don't know how you undo that.
Yeah, you know, and if you read...
Right away, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's a very tangled web, and I would argue one of the big differences between Harvey Weinstein and Scott Rudin is that Scott Rudin is still a power player.
Yes.
A very influential power player who gets stuff done.
Yeah, and he wasn't doing the casting couch, but he was being an a-hole to everybody.
Yeah. Oh, horrific. Now,
everybody, and that's, you know, like, okay, so that's kind of a business kind of thing that's accepted.
Right. Well, and one of the things, too, about Scott Rudin, if you read the Vulture.com story and the people's stories about working with him, it's the assistance that he's...
Mean to,
mm-hmm. You know, and they speak in that Vulture.com story about how he would just turn on the charm when celebrities and talent would come through the doors of his production company.
Right.
But it was the assistants and the people who were lower level, very young, hungry, wanting to get a foot in the industry that would just be horrifically abused.
But that was also because people didn't want to go on records. And Rita Wilson did go on record with the New York Times. She was one of the few people did not want to go on record. So I guess in that way, because she is Tom Hanks' wife, maybe that's why she felt comfortable sharing that story. Maybe other people, you know, will come forward. But she just said she felt so worthless. She was trying to get her off of a play Broadway with Larry David, you know, because she had breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to need some time off.
Right.
So, wow, very interesting. All right, Holly, thank you.
Thanks, Holly.
You're welcome.
We're going to go get our disinfectant spray right now and Lysol the studio.
Oh, please, wipe it down. The whole thing, top to bottom.
All right, are we ready for some weekend picks presented by AARP Minnesota Kids?
Yes.
All right, Julia, you're so excited, we'll let you go first.
Yeah. All right, I will. All right, so I have TV. I have stuff to do in front of a screen.
Okay.
And tonight, Tom Clancy's Without Remorse, starring Michael B. Jordan as a Navy SEAL, uncovers an international conspiracy, is on Amazon.
You know, at one point, Tom Hardy and Keanu Reeves were attached to this project. That's how long this
has taken.
This
to
character
get out.
And this Clancy, you know, this
and
character.
This one has taken to get out. And then also on Apple Plus TV, Mosquito Coast, starring Justin Theroux. Which is
kind of want to watch.
It's kind of getting like I'd say 70% ish.
Okay,
that's kind of like
Neil Justin. I thought really liked
Neil
it.
Neil Justin liked it. Other people kind of haven't, but okay. I think that sounds good. And then another thing is The Handmaid's Tale. Now I never finished season 3.
Neither did I. I decided I'm just going to watch it season 4.
I think so too because
I didn't like season 3.
I hated
3.
Season 3.
Same.
But that's on Hulu. And then the other thing is Things Seen and Heard. Is on Netflix, and that is with Amanda Seyfried.
It's a scary movie.
Yeah.
Moving into a new couple moves into a house. This totally has my name on it.
Yeah, I totally will watch it. All right, that's mine.
All right, Rebecca, what do you got?
Okay, well, you know, there's not really a May Day parade in Minneapolis anymore, but my buddies at the Beer Dabbler are part of something called the May Day Pedal Parade, and it's five breweries in South Minneapolis. You pay $5 for like a passport type thing.
Yeah.
And then you ride your bikes to Arbiter Brewing, East Lake, Lynn Lake, Northbound, and Venn, and you get your passport stamped or whatever.
Oh,
and
I
they're
like
raising
that.
Money. So that's that. Oh, speaking of beer, remember we had the Nut Goody beer?
Yes,
and the
salted
nut roll beer. Well, they're doing this is what's it what is it in downtown St. Paul? But they're having their Bit O' Honey beer.
Oh, that sounds good.
Let me look up. I can't remember why.
Because Bit of Honey should be melted because that stuff is like eating rocks.
Tin Whiskers. That's the name.
Tin Whiskers, right.
So they're releasing their Bit of Honey beer this week. So that might be something fun. I talked about it earlier in the week. I think Betty Dangers, which used to be like which at one point was Psycho Susie's at, where is it? Like Lowry and Marshall?
Yes.
And they have the big Ferris wheel. They sort of changed from sort of a fun country club kind of thing. Yeah, Kitschy Country Club is a good description. Now they're being called Betty Danger's Animal Farm, and it's kind of an interesting concept. It's like part Orwell's 1984 and part Orwell Animal Farm, and they're having their Kentucky Derbytante.
I was gonna
party. Yes. That's tomorrow, and I think I got to find out what time the post time is for the Kentucky.
I think 4:45.
Yeah, it's late afternoon.
It's always late afternoon,
like
4:55. But there are a couple fun, I've been invited to them.
Yeah.
Personal parties.
And I know, like, Canterbury, I mean, there are things happening.
Although I looked at Canterbury and it's sold out.
It is sold out.
Yeah, because it's a ticketed
event, yeah.
And then I think that's about it.
That's great stuff, what though. I got.
Okay, here's what I've got. Let's see. Tonight and tomorrow night, you'd have to check on tickets, but Church of Cash is playing at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater.
Yes.
That band is great, and the guy, the lead singer, he sounds like Johnny Cash so much. G.B. Layton is at the Minnesota Music Cafe, and that would be a lot of fun to go to. If this person,
my sexy jailer
would let me out of the house. Rocco.
Yes, but he's not yet.
Not until he said the 2 weeks vaccination. I mean, he's like, it doesn't matter if it's 95%. All you need is one chance to be, you know, infected.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. So we rode in a car with the sexy jailer yesterday.
Yeah.
My brother, Lori's husband,
mm-hmm.
for the first time in a year. I've been in that close of quarters with him without masks.
Yeah, he made an exception for you.
I thought that was nice.
Yeah, I'm surprised he took off his mask. I should bring that up to the sexy jailer so I could go out and see G.B. Layton tonight. I digress. Bringing the purse. Okay, tomorrow night, Good for Gary, P.D. Pappies is having their first band.
I know
band.
A lot of people going to that tomorrow night.
They're a fun band to dance to. So P.D. Pappies, and of course, they've got the big
outdoor
deck, the big
deck.
Outside.
Where's that again?
They're called Good for Gary. It's P.D. Pappies.
And that is that right in downtown Stillwater, you're saying?
Yes.
It's the Biker Boater Bar.
It's so fun.
Okay.
Down it's at the fun. End, it's like, that's the only bar I ever really go to there unless I'm having brunch somewhere.
But there's some Ziggy's is supposed to be a lot of fun. There's some other places.
But I always want to go to the bar, Julia. I want to go to the good bar. And then at Palmer's, they're having outdoor music starting tonight. There's somebody there. And then also, but it's a ticketed thing because... Anyway, but tomorrow night, JRD and The Big Mistake is playing at Palmer's. Okay. And then Sunday at the Ice House outside, Turn is playing.
Oh, they're good. I've seen them.
Yeah.
Good, like three-part harmonies.
Oh, really?
It's Adam.
Levy, right?
Oh,
from
I love
Honey Dogs
him,
and a couple female musicians with them. Yeah, they're fun. Just real 70s kind of California folk rock. Yeah.
So that's like at 7 o'clock Sunday at the Ice House outside. But again, you got to get tickets. Okay. So, apologies to everybody for the pickup lines.
For the last five
I promise to do better next week. That's all I can say. That's all I can promise you, dear friends.
Somebody
Rocco
called in and
said, funny.
"What
I
did
said,
someone say?"
I've done
they
this a million times. And,
somebody called in and said they had a pickup line that worked on them once. They said they were walking by, like down the road or something, and somebody's like, "How are you doing?" And that person said, "Better now," and it worked. She said later they ended up hooking up at the bar.
Better now. I mean, that's nice
just
comeback, an easy thing, volley, as it were.
Yeah.
You know, but keep I don't it. Know. We could volley back if you. Someone said you sweat a lot for a big dude. Yeah, I do.
I want to
show you. I can
you.
Sweat even harder.
You taste like mint. I want to lick you. That's like the classic.
Lick me. I'm mint. It's Kentucky Derby tomorrow.
Oh gosh! Remember, all right, Lori and I have been to the Kentucky Derby. Were we two times or three times?
Two times, I think.
Wow.
We That's went to the one say. In New York. What is it? The Belmont.
The Belmont.
Oh, yeah.
Was
it,
fun?
It was actually, we went out for to win a My Talk Award to win a Gracie.
Oh, I remember that.
And Alexis and I went, and Angel and my wife. And we saw it. It was pretty crazy to be there.
They're fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's fun. They're saying they're having, did they say 50,000 spectators or 25,000 spectators or?
Is it limited?
Or 5,000.
Is it limited? Smaller.
Yeah, but not that much.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, yeah.
All right. We've got to just get to this story because we were obsessed with this.
We were.
We've never had a celebrity dog napping case.
No, with someone getting shot.
That's right. Yeah. And late yesterday, the LAPD had arrested and charged five people in connection with the February ambush shooting of Lady Gaga's dog walker and abduction. Here's just a quick little report from NBC.
This morning, police announcing they've collared a ring of violent dog nappers. The LAPD saying five people have been arrested and charged for the February ambush shooting of Lady Gaga's dog walker and the abduction of her two French bulldogs, Koji and Gustav. The suspects range in age from 18 to 50. Police say four of the five are known gang members.
I'm sorry! Oh my God!
The horrifying Hollywood ambush caught on a home surveillance camera.
There's still two dogs. They're Frenchies. They're actually waiting here. They're waiting on those dogs.
Three of the suspects have been charged with attempted murder for their direct involvement in the attack. The remaining two charged with accessory to attempted murder, including a woman who police say returned the dogs days later in an attempt to cash in on the pop star's $500,000 reward. Thursday, all five suspects pled not guilty, with bail ranging from $10,000 to $3 million. In a statement, detectives say the suspects likely didn't know the dog's famous owner, saying evidence suggests the suspects knew the great value of the breed of dogs and was the motivation for the robbery. Gaga's dog walker, 30-year-old Ryan Fisher, is expected to fully recover after neighbors jumped in to help. Lady Gaga has yet to speak out on the arrest, but posted on social media just before the dogs were found, writing about her longtime friend. "I continue to love you, Ryan Fisher. You risked your life to fight for our family. You're forever a hero." This morning, the district attorney calling for justice, saying this was a brazen street crime that left a man seriously wounded. "We have alleged very serious charges in this case and have faith that justice will be appropriately served as this case unfolds in court."
It is sizzling on the grill. I remember the police told Lady Gaga, don't pay.
Right.
And sure enough, a father of one, they just were taking, they were looking for Frenchies.
Right.
Anyway, when they realized, whoops. I mean, it's a classic crook caper.
Right.
Whoops, we got these very famous dogs. one guy's dad and asked a friend of his, this woman, we're going to set it up and talked her in to play. They got her on video.
Right.
You know, where to go. And they did, concocted this whole. And of course, you know, they got busted because their story didn't hold up. But yeah, that dog walker, he lost a lung.
No,
he's lucky he did live.
Yeah, no
kidding. Got shot four times in the chest. Anyway, geez, Louise.
Well, it's a good thing.
They just got all nervous with all the publicity, and they're dog nappers.
They totally were dog nappers.
Dog nappers, but anyway, she could have put a hit out on those dog nappers. She's doing that movie over there where she put out a hit on her husband.
The Gucci.
Yeah.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, that then she would be Lady Gaga.
Okay, so we're singing today at Julia's request because we just wanted a nice, easy peasy song.
But
Come and Get Your Love by Redbone, which GB Layton will play tonight at the Minnesota Music Cafe. He does a cover. But what I never realized about this song is that Redbone, it was the first Native American band to reach the top five on the Billboard 100 when this song came out in 1974, and it was in Guardians of the Galaxy. It's in an Applebee ad. It's just, you know, a great song, but it was their highest charting single in one of their two top 40s. They also had the Witch Queen of New Orleans, but yeah, it's, people know it was in Avengers Endgame. So yeah, just an easy song.